is coming, between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are. Welcome to the shooting bench. We've got an unscheduled show tonight. There was just some things going on that I wanted to talk about, and I didn't want to take up Liberty Lounge time to do it, so I thought I'd throw in an extra show. It's the 23rd of March, and it's a Friday. Here in an hour, we'll get on with Liberty Lounge. And to tell you something else I heard yesterday, now this is a secret. You can't tell anybody else. But I heard through the grapevine that Amy was tossing around notions there's possibility she might swing in here from time to time and visit with y'all a little bit. So I don't know that to be a fact yet, but it's just kind of something drifting around in the wind here. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, let's First off, let me remind everyone that we have the class coming up in Vancouver, Washington, 11th, 12th, and 13th of May. That'll be the 3-day personal defense handgun class with a night shoot. And we've got some other ones coming up, some private classes and stuff that there's no use talking about on the air since they're private. But anyway, got some other things going on as well. So now one of the things that's going on, let me go check my chat room and see if we have sound. I know somebody's going to be there right on top of things, letting me know what's going on here. Hey, John Fish joined us tonight. Glad to see you. Kilogram's in there. Doc says he loves Amy. Well, I don't blame you. I do, too. Let me see who all's here. Desert Rat's in there. That's good. And a Taker and Doc. Edge of the Woods. Glad to hear you, buddy. I didn't see if you made it back to Alaska safely or if you're still... Seems to me like you probably ought to still be about halfway between here and there. Katie Brad, been a little while. Kilogram again, Peanut Rider, Pumpkin Cat, Yakima Glock. Got a handful of anonymous going on there. So, all right, well, let's continue to march here. I've got a couple things I want to talk about that I've been going around Facebook today, and I'm afraid that some of it's going to spread over into people are going to start taking it seriously, if you know what I mean. And one of those things is the spending bill that Trump signed today. I hope that it seems to me that we have a whole lot of fair weather supporters out there that when everything doesn't go just right, that they immediately abandon ship and start looking for somebody else. Well, let's talk about that for just a second first. I don't reckon that, and I've said this before, but I don't reckon that there's ever been a president in the history of the United States since George Washington. Maybe an exception would be George Washington, I don't know, that has done every single thing that every single person wanted him to do. And Trump has done more good for this country in the year or so that he's been there than any other president in my lifetime. He's made some mistakes, and he's the way he talks, the way he presents himself and does it, because he's not a politician. There's a lot of things he's done that I didn't really care for. But when I look at the alternative, has anybody ever given any thought, any of you given any thought to where we'd be if Hillary would have been elected? Or any of the other idiots that were running in there? So it may not be perfect, but I think we're going to survive. Now, this spending bill is a spending bill. It's not a budget. In that spending bill was millions and millions and millions of dollars for the military that Obama destroyed. I'm sure that there's things that, Trump come right out and said, he said, I will never, ever do this again. But I think they had him over a barrel on a couple of things. Everybody remember when Obama signed that bill, that spending bill. That wasn't a spending bill, it was just a piece of legislation. On February 22nd of 2009, he signed that bill that allowed people to carry weapons in national parks and national monuments. That's not because he was pro-gun. It's not because he was doing us any frickin' favors. It was because they had him over a barrel. There were some things in here that he had to have. And the only way to get it was to sign that bill. And some genius attached the part in there where we could carry in national parks and national monuments, providing we're obeying the law of the state that the national park or national monument is in. Okay, that was a great thing, but it doesn't make him pro-gun. It doesn't make him on our side. Just because Trump signed this doesn't mean that he's against us. It doesn't mean that he's backing off on his word. And I'll tell you what, this is not a budget. He's not bound to anything that's in it, really. It is an omnibus spending bill. He can do with it pretty much what he wants. What if he holds all this money? You know, one of the biggest things people is crying about is $500 million to Planned Parenthood. I don't believe for a damn minute that Trump is for Planned Parenthood. Since it is a spending bill and not a budget, he does not have to give them that money, or he can withhold that and slow it down as long as he wants to. And by doing so, he's pretty much holding the libs at hostage. Trump won is what it amounts to. He pulled the wool over their eyes. I think that he's held them hostage right now with this bill. And he'll turn loose money as he sees fit, if he sees fit, when he gets some of the things that he wants. He can do the same thing for sanctuary cities. He can withhold or delay that money as long as he likes, or not give it to them at all. He can take that money and, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, put it to use in other places. So I don't think this is going to be as bad as everybody thinks it is. Let's look at the chat room here. Yeah, Pumpkin Cat, that's what I think. He's trumped the Democrats again. Now, we will see. But what I will not do, and I've told you from the beginning, when Trump was elected, that I supported him. I do not blindly support him. But I will not throw him under the damn bus right now because he signed this bill, because nothing's been done with it yet. He just signed it. And since it is an omnibus spending bill and not a budget, I have to wait and see what he's going to do with it before I throw him in. But I will throw his ass under the bus if he doesn't do what I think he's going to do with it. But I think that we're going to be pleasantly surprised when all this. He's not stupid. Amy and I were talking about this over dinner. You know, as much as we dislike George Soros or Bill Gates or anybody else, they didn't get that way by being stupid. Trump didn't get that way by being stupid. He didn't get to be a multi-whatever, however many bazillionaire he is by being an idiot. He is, what's the word, cagey? He's smart. He's cunning. He's a chess player. I think he's playing chess right now. And I think when he signed that, when he laid his pen down, he said, check. We'll soon find out. And I'm not opposed to throwing him under the bus. But I'm not going to. Well, let me rephrase that, because throwing him under the bus would mean that he's being used kind of as a scapegoat. Throwing him under the bus would be losing his support for him now. Or what's the word? Forfeiting your support for him now. If you do it now, you're throwing him under the bus without all the facts. We need to wait and see what he does with this. He's not bound to do anything because it is not a budget. So I will gladly take all my support for him and put it in the hog trough out there. Even if he doesn't do what I think he's going to do, he has still done a lot of good for the country, a lot of good. And I expect him to do more, even though I may be very disappointed if he doesn't do with this bill what I thought he was going to do. So we'll see, and I'm not going to speculate or anything on this until we see what happens. He did get, he is rebuilding our military. He is very, very big and very strong on military. He's done some good for the VA. That's going to benefit a lot of veterans, including myself. I'm probably not going to completely give up on him, even if he disappoints me with this spending bill. He has not disappointed me like George Bush Sr. did. He has not disappointed me. Well, of course, Clinton disappointed me that he even ran. But, you know, those people had, especially Clinton and Obama, they had nothing ever that was good for us or good for the country, period. For 8 years, we put up with that. And now there's a possibility, however slim, that Trump may have made a mistake. And people are jumping ship like a bunch of rats. If you haven't got the guts to stand up for this now, you expect us to support you or for you to support us when the poop hits the fan? If this is all it takes to get you to jump ship, then I'm going to have a hard time trusting you. You know, give it a rest. Wait and see what happens. Even if he does nothing, does everything just like the bill is written, he's still got the money for the military. He's still done a bunch of other good. I think he will continue to do good. Think back on some of the other presidents that we've had over the years and see how many of them have been so strong in for the military and in helping the citizens in general, the country in general. So I will wait and see before I get too excited about this. So let's look at another. Got a couple other things I want to get on here tonight before Liberty Lounge. Let me find it here. Stand by a minute. Okay, changing gears completely. We talked the other night about, when was it, Monday or Wednesday, we talked about Dick's Sporting Goods not really too happy with their decision right now. They are losing money. We don't know if it's going to be that dramatic for them, but they've noticed anyway. There's been at least two lawsuits that I know of against Dick's. And there's two more here filing age discrimination complaints against Bi-Mart and Fred Meyer after they refused to sell ammo to them. These are guys who are in Oregon, under 21, lodged complaints with state authorities after they refused to sell them ammunition, firearms due to store policy. Now, some of these guys are good. There's no question in my mind, and bless their hearts, God bless them, that these kids, I say kids, they're kids to me, 18, 19, 20 years old, are purposely going to these places and trying to make a purchase, not being allowed to, solely for the purpose of going out and starting a proceedings for a lawsuit or a complaint against the state. Good for them. I'm glad to see these guys doing this. Real glad to see them saying, well, that's the law. I guess we don't do that. We kind of got to wait for 2 years. But a couple of these states are looking at passing legislation that will allow them to confiscate guns from people that are less than 18 years old. Got in a big discussion, what was it, yesterday? No. Might have been this morning. I don't remember when it was. Anyway, about a guy was absolutely adamant, saying that you have a medical marijuana card, that you can still own a gun, you can buy a gun, because in BATF's ruling, I hesitate to call it a law because it's really not legal, but it's what they use and it's what we abide by if we want to stay out of jail. It says that if you are addicted or if you're an illegal user of these, what do they call them, Schedule 1 narcotics or controlled substances or whatever, and that is what the law says. And I told this guy, he was over and over, and I said, no, if you have a card, period, you cannot buy a gun. You cannot legally own a gun. Yes, you can get one, buy it from an individual, private sales, and you'll probably get away with it. That does not make it legal. It means you got away with it for now. If, for whatever reason, you were to come under federal scrutiny for whatever, because you was at the refuge with Lavoie, or, you know, for whatever, any other purpose that you might come under federal scrutiny, and they find out that you have that gun, or that you purchased that gun, you're going to be in just as much trouble as you would be if you, it's just like lying on the 4473 if you bought it from a dealer. Same thing. He said, and the guy was pretty nice, and he was very, he apologized when I showed him, proved him wrong. He was very humble about it, and I applaud his good sportsmanship there, and his gentlemanly manner. But nevertheless, we went on and on about it for quite a while. And when he found out he was wrong, he went back and deleted all his stuff. And when he did that, I went back and deleted all mine, except for the one thing that proved my point. So let me read this to you. I told him, I said, that's why the court has made this ruling. And that is to clarify what that means. Let's see. No, that's not it. Let me find it. Here it is. Okay, this is an actual letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter. I'm just going to read the portion here that's relevant to what we're talking about. But I said that's the reason that they have done this. Let's see if I can find what's actually stated. Let's see, federal law 18 U.S.C. 922 makes it unlawful for any person to sell or otherwise dispose of any firearm or ammunition to any person knowing or having reasonable cause to believe that such person is an unlawful user of or addicted to a controlled substance, as provided in 27 CFR 478.11, an inference of current use may be drawn from evidence of a recent, okay, that's not it. On the 4473, it asks if you use or are addicted to marijuana. If you answer, which means you should answer yes to question 11E on the 4473. And if you answer yes on that, then you can't get the firearm. However, it said if you are, listen to this, if you are aware that the potential transferee is in possession of a card authorizing the possession and use of marijuana under state law, then you have reasonable cause to believe that that person is an unlawful user of a controlled substance. As such, you may not transfer firearms or ammunition to that person, even if the person answered no to question 11E. People don't understand that just because the state says you can do something doesn't necessarily mean that the feds have approved it. And that's the case with this marijuana law. It is still illegal under federal law, smoking it, period. It's still illegal under federal law. I think there may be a minimum amount that you're allowed or something. I'm not sure. But federal law does take precedence here. Now, the state, several states, New Mexico is one of them. New Mexico will allow you to get your concealed carry permit and have a gun and all that being a medical marijuana user. That doesn't mean the feds approve. If, for whatever reason, you get tangled up with the feds, you can still get in trouble for it. So that's all I got to say about that. All right, let me get back over here. I wish this crystal ball was round instead of flat so I could just turn it around and look at the other side of it. All right, there we go. That one I'm going to save till after the bottom of the hour here. We'll take a little break here in a minute. Matter of fact, I think we'll just take a break now and then I'll save that. So if you guys want to hang with, actually, when I'm taking a break, I'm going to have to get some batteries in my mouth here. It looks like it's starting to flake out on me. All right, stand by. I'll be back here in a minute. And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough. Well, that is not at all what I was supposed to be doing. Let's try this one more time. Let me get rid of that. Let me pull this up here. Let's do this again.
I'll be back.
For my New Mexico listeners and anyone else interested in truth, justice, and the American way, my friend Gary McDaniel has tossed his hat in the ring for Division I Magistrate Judge. Gary has devoted his life to justice and has served the San Juan County residents for over 33 years in various capacities in law enforcement. He served as magistrate in 2012 and was also an alternate judge in Aztec. Gary's list of qualifications and awards is extensive and distinguished. So if you want to see liberty for all in action and see how it really works, vote Gary McDaniel, the primary election, June 5th, 2018. Gary McDaniel, family man, public servant, guided by God, conscience, and the Constitution.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men had never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen, try.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I am kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. Smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from the guitar down.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
I'd love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
All right, we're back. We've got a couple other things we want to try to get out tonight. The Liberty Lounge will be on as scheduled here in about 30 minutes. How many of you heard about the attempted attack on Travis Air Force Base today? Or, well, I guess it was yesterday. A car loaded up with propane tanks run through the main gate at Travis, and the guy wound up setting the stuff up, setting it off, blowing himself up and burning himself up or whatever after he breached the gates. So since he did ignite these things himself, they did call it a terrorist attack. Now, I'm not sure why they wouldn't call it a terrorist attack if it was running through the gate with a car full of propane tanks. In itself, ought to be pretty well described as a terrorist attack. But anyway, that's not the big story in itself. That's just one of many things that's going on right now. That and the anti-Second Amendment stuff that's going on here. We've got Citigroup. Now, this is not the first time Citigroup has done this, but they are more serious and more detailed about it now than they were last time. Matter of fact, they kind of backed off of it a little bit, didn't push it too hard after their initial, when was that? That was back in, probably 2007, 8, somewhere in there. Anyway, Citigroup has become the first Wall Street bank to take a stance in this gun control thing. And they're putting new restrictions on the sale of firearms by its business customer. And a lot of people are looking at this and saying, well, that's not anything that's any of their business. Well, they're not... Yakima Gawk, that's good. I like Barkabob. Yeah, I like that. they're not selling guns, and what they're doing is prevent. This is not this is the same thing they did last time. It's just more in depth this time. Is they don't want their customers selling certain items, certain firearms, and high capacity magazines, and bump stocks, and all of that kind of stuff. So this new policy announced just yesterday prohibits the sale of firearms to customers who have not passed background checks. So that's a stupid part of the law right there, because the only way that Citibank could have any effect on any of these people is for them to be a dealer with an account with one of the Citibank's banks. So, obviously, any gun that's purchased, there's going to be a background check. And who are under the age of 21. So, Citibank is telling their customers, their dealers, let's say Citibank processed the credit cards and everything for, or had a business loan to, I know they don't, but let's just say Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop. That would mean that that business nationwide at each of its stores would not be allowed to sell guns to someone under 21 for fear of Citibank closing out their account. Now, Bank of America did that not once, but twice. Twice that I'm aware of. A few years ago, about the same time that Citibank did this. And they did that to, it was someone in the Phoenix area, and I can't remember which, it was a cousin, McMillan Barrels. And McMillan actually started their own credit card processing service and offered it to, I almost got on with them back in 2014 over this kind of stuff. So this is really spread. It's not just, at the time it was, I don't remember what McMillan was selling. It made, it was just the fact that he was a dealer. It wasn't due to any particular item or product. It was because he was a gun dealer, period. And they just closed his account. They brought him in there and set him down in the office and just said, yep, without any explanation, and closed his account. And it happened also to a smaller business in Phoenix. And this had been so long ago that I don't remember who it was, but it was a someone who, some tactical outfit that made AR-15 lowers or something. I don't remember who it was. But now they're saying you can't even sell magazines. They're not just closing you down because you're a dealer because they don't like guns. They're telling their customers what they can and cannot sell. They're telling their customers that even though it's legal, you will not sell guns to anyone under age 21. You will not sell bump stocks, high capacity magazines. It said that Citibank Executive Officer Mike Corbat explained that the new company policies apply to small business, commercial, and institutional clients, as well as credit card partners. So once again, let me finish this here. The rules, which Citigroup claims are common sense measures, isn't that what they all say? It's common sense to you. Follow the trend of other major retailers, such as Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods. Companies' decisions have ultimately resulted in backlash and a noticeable decrease in sales stemming from customer boycotts. Keep it up, folks. Hey, Rick, glad to see you in there. Haven't seen you for a while. Welcome. It said any potential new clients would also be screened to ensure their businesses adhere to Citibank's new policies. In the new rules, Corbat, who was Corbat here? He was the chief executive officer. The new rules, on these rules, he says, I'm an avid outdoorsman and responsible gun owner. He stressed that these new rules are a good compromise for both Second Amendment advocates and those in support of stricter gun laws. There is no compromise. You either are or you ain't. He said, we don't have the perfect solution to supporting our Constitution while keeping our children and grandchildren safe, but we shouldn't let that stop us from doing our part. So obviously this guy has no concept, no idea what the Constitution is about or how to support it. He if he's going to compromise, he thinks that it is, like some people say, a fluid document that can be changed on a whim. So I was going to say something else there a while ago, and I forgot what it was. It surely must not have been terribly important if I forgot it that easy. Anyway, Let's look in here and see if I can remember what it was. No, anyway. Okay, well, we're getting a good... Hang on a minute, we may have breaking news here. Nope, that's not breaking news. All right, let's get back here to our story. This next one is going to take a few minutes to talk about. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, you probably know what we're about to talk about here. At first, now I would suggest that you refrain from comments until you hear this out a little bit, because it may not be exactly what you think it is. So before you put your foot in your mouth, just sit there and be courteous and listen a minute. There is a principle in, I don't know how to pronounce this, Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania. A little controversial right now. He is in the spotlight in that neck of the woods, actually all over the country, after telling the lawmakers in Harrisburg that his students would be protecting themselves against potential school shooters with rocks. I know what everybody's thinking. Keep it to yourself. He said, every classroom has been equipped with a 5-gallon bucket of Riverstone. If an armed intruder attempts to gain entrance into any of our classrooms, they will face a classroom full of students armed with rocks, and they will be stoned. They'll probably be stoned before they get there, but anyway. At one time, I just had the idea of Riverstone. They're about the right size for hand. You can throw them very hard, and they will cause pain, which will distract. Now, before we go any further with this, let's talk about this a little bit. So many experts, so many geniuses, I guess, on Facebook. Oh, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Oh, that guy's such a moron. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you'd rather them just stand there and be shot, right? No, I'd rather the teachers be armed. Well, so would I. But that's not one of the things that's on the agenda. This is until or unless that happens, we have to do something in the interim here. What would that be? How many times have you heard me on this show, for those of you that's taken my Counter-Strike class, how many times have you heard me say, you know, do something? Water bottle is a great weapon. Throw books, pens, high-heeled shoes, briefcases. You know, and I've mentioned this time and time and time again when the guy was actually in many cases, but the one that I always use in my class is Colin Ferguson. When he shot those 21 and 22, 23 people, whatever it was, on the subway in New York. And what he did was just walk down the aisles and shot people I keep wondering, where were the men on that subway? I know that he's probably going to manage to get a couple of you anyway. But is there not somebody there with a briefcase or a pen or something? There's a whole train full of people, and one man is allowed to walk down the aisle and shoot all these people? Well, if one man comes into a classroom, all these people say, well, it takes time to cock your arm and throw the rock, and you can't throw the rock as fast as a bullet. Listen, brain surgeon. They're not going to be standing 5 yards apart ready to draw on each other. One of them's going to draw a rock and the other one's going to draw a gun. What's going to happen is 35 kids in the classroom are going to get in this bucket of rocks and pelt this guy until somebody can get on him or kids can get out or want to buy some time. Is he still going to shoot somebody? Probably. But maybe he won't shoot all 35 of them. Maybe he'll shoot too. Great idea, Doc. Put the rock in a sock. That's damn sure a fact. Put a baseball in a sock, cue ball, something like that, whatever you can find. Just throw in books. We've done this in force-on-force training. Is that, will you have groceries in your hands and the guy pulls out, just throw the groceries. Buy yourself some time. At least try. No, you'd rather my kids just stand there and be shot because you think it's a stupid idea? Now, the only objection I have to this is that they said there's only a bucket in there. Kilogram, that is not a valid argument. Rocks in a class will be used against other students. No. Could they? Sure. If they didn't have rocks, they could use a chair or a textbook or any of the other things, water bottle, a notebook, any other thousand other things that they could be using for weapons. So that's not a... Somebody said, well, the rocks could be used against a teacher. Yeah, well, so could a chair. So could a water bottle. So could a shoe, a fist, a knife that was smuggled in past metal detectors that don't exist on many of these schools. So, yeah, there's no argument there that is... It's valid against having these rocks in the classroom. I would say if you had at least two buckets of rocks in there. Now, having this bucket full of rocks is going to be a lot like arming teachers. A lot of the kids are just going to scream and run and try. You know, this one guy that I was arguing with, I told him he's going to be the star of my show tonight. Of course, I'm not going to use his name, but he said, let me see. Let me go back here and find what he said here. It's not too far back here. It is right there. Okay, he said, I think that is the most ridiculous idea I've ever come across, that has ever come across my eyes as far as a way to stop a shooter. First off, how long does it take a kid to position himself in an adequate way to actually throw the rock, including cranking their arm back, then running for cover, and how long does it take to squeeze a trigger three or four times? Let's stop right there. Again, this is not me against thou. This is not one guy against a shooter, one kid against a shooter. It's 35 kids, 25 kids, 20 kids, 40 kids, however many there is. Out of that 25, 30, 40 kids, there's bound to be six or eight of them, at least, that will throw a rock. And if you get six sports jocks out there throwing rocks, chances are pretty good that his mind's going to be... You take a rock the size of your fist and you hit somebody right dead in the middle of the chest with it, or right between the eyes or the back of the head, the side of the head, or say, he's going down. You know, they stone people in the Middle East all the time and kill them dead because there's a lot of people out there with rocks. Of course, the person that's doing being stoned doesn't have a gun either. But nevertheless, it kills them. Now, we just read a thing the other day that Kilogram, that's another good idea. Baseball bats, hell yeah, why not? We just read a thing the other day about the kids not being able to throw, not kids, but the Army not being able to throw grenades far enough to qualify. Well, they don't have to throw a pound and a half grenade 25 yards. They have to throw a 10-ounce rock, 5 yards. So I think they can probably handle that. Hang on just a second, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's 2 years old. Yeah, if you open the story up, it's an old story. People are posting it, though. What was I going to say here? Oh, he said... Now, anyone who's hunted quail will tell you that the chances the bird just over the size of a man's hand has a 50-50 chance of survival. Well, maybe when you hunt quail. Now, take a human body and a projectile the size of a candy corn going 3,240 feet a second, and the body moving, if he's lucky, 5 or 6 miles an hour, then stopping to throw the rock. Now, see, this whole scenario that you're coming up is just stupid. It's just dumb. The kid's not going to be running away, stop and turn around and throw a rock. Now, he also said that these kids in this class or in this school have had active shooter training. No, it's not like active shooter training for SWAT. It's active shooter training for kids in a school. Active shooter training for the congregation in a church. Totally different thing. But what you learn in this training is that running away from somebody shooting, if they're already in there, it's probably not the best thing to do. Ask all them people. Oh, you can't ask them. They're dead. I was going to say the people at the theater in Colorado. Where is it? Aurora, Colorado? Ask them how well running away worked. They ran up there and piled up against the exits and couldn't get out. And he was probably killing, or at least hitting, 2, 3, 4 people per shot. Now, if every one of those people in that theater would have simply gotten on the floor right where they're at, would he have still killed some? Possibly. Probably. Maybe a couple, a few. But if he can't see you, he has to guess. If you're behind the seats, you're going to force him to walk up and down the aisles. I don't know. Some people are still going to get killed. But he's not going to kill, however many of them there was. This same principle applies when it's exactly the same principle, precisely. When I mentioned, if there had just been one concealed carry holder there with a 2-inch 38, he probably could have saved a lot of lives. And the first thing people like this guy come up with is, a 38 is no match for a man with a 223. With an AR-15. It's not the point. If that guy is concentrating on people running up and down the aisles, mostly up, and good point, Kilogram, and you have one sheepdog there that's not running, that gets down behind the seats and makes himself a smaller target and fires one shot at this shooter, even if he misses, what's going to happen? He's going to distract him and draw his attention towards that guy that shot with the 38. Will he kill the guy that shot with 38? Possibly. But remember, this guy's a sheepdog. He's not like the rest of them. He's going to fire one shot and get down, pop up somewhere else like that duck hunting game. Pop up down the row a little bit and pop off another round. And he may not ever hit the shooter. But he might keep him busy enough to keep him from continuing to kill people. This guy went on to say, stopping to throw the rock tell you the chances of escape are pretty much 90%, plus that the target is hit a minimum of one time. If you take this scenario the way this guy says it, probably so. He's saying that everybody's going to run away and then stop and throw a rock. The idea is to run towards and throw rocks while you're moving. He said, if the shooter is a bad shot, then the survival rate goes up. But how far will the student be with the rocks, how far will the student be with the rocks to be able to hit their target accurately with a rock? By the way, this scenario was my own opinion. Arm the teacher with survival seeds and drop the shooter before he drops a kid. Okay, yeah, I'm all for arming the teachers, but that's not one of the things that we're talking about. That wasn't offered as an option. The option is do nothing or throw a rock. In my Counter-Strike class, I tell people you take that bottle of water, preferably full, that works best that way, and you're standing in your hand, you're with it in your hands, and you're wringing your hands, and you're crying, oh, please don't shoot me while this guy is getting up close to you, or you're getting close to him, and you have the base of that water bottle in your hand, and you cram that water bottle as hard as you could right into his Adam's apple, into that hollow spot in his throat, in his eye, even his upper lip, in his temple. I promise you, because you're scared already, and you're going to put more power into it, twice as much power as you normally would, I promise you, you're going to get results. I've told you this before. Watch a movie called Red Eye. Great show. A lot of stuff to learn. A lot of good lessons in Red Eye. Find it. Watch it. It's worth your hour and a half of your time. Kilogram. You see, this is one of those things that we can what if this to death. Would the chair be more effective? Absolutely. Could I throw the rock faster? Hell yes. With a chair, you've got to pick it up off the floor, rear back, throw it. You can't throw it nearly as far. But here's the thing. If someone had thrown a rock and got his attention or distracted him, and Kilogram's on the other side of the room with a chair or a desk, that's when you throw the chair. I wouldn't throw the chair initially because speed is going to be a factor to start with. So grab rock, boom, nailed him right between the eyes. Got him. Okay, we're done. But to grab a chair, when you pick that up and raise that chair over your head and go to throw it, that's going to be in slow motion compared to throwing a rock. And chances are pretty good you may get a shot. If that's all you got, by all means, do it. But if you got a couple of other kids throwing rocks at this guy and distracting him for a minute, grab that chair and give it all you got. Bust him with it. Yes, ma'am, that will definitely work. No problem with that. The Kilogram, I know, brother. I know that's what I said a while ago. Out of those 30 or 40 kids or however many, hopefully, being the key word here, hopefully there would be 5, 6, 8 of them that might have the testicular fortitude to actually throw the rock instead of screaming and crying and hitting their knees or piling up in the corner. Likely that's what at least 75% of them are going to do. That number would probably go down if they had some drills. Of course, they're not going to be able to use drills with real rocks, but have some drills as to what to do. Go through the motions. It's not any different than carrying a gun. I tell my concealed carry holders in the classes, now, after all this information that I've given you today, do you think you'll be able to do everything that I've told you? And before they have a chance to answer, I say, no. Hell no. There's no way. What you need to do, while this all is still fresh on your mind, and take your notes, and go and simulate some of this stuff, pantomime some of the things that we're talking about, and practice it and practice it and practice it and do it over and over and over and over and over. Then you might have a chance. You might default to that level of training that you've had. If you do nothing, you'll do nothing. If you do nothing, you'll freeze. If you don't practice, if you just sit down and take this 4-hour class and take down some notes and say, well, that's good, now I can get my permit and I'm all done. Yeah, well, thank you very much. Drive through. That's all you're going to do. You're going to give me some money, and you're going to get nothing out of it. But if you practice the things that you were taught, some of the verbal things, some of the techniques, some of the procedures, and it doesn't include shooting. I'm talking about things like how, when, and what you say when you dial 911. A lot of different things you do besides the shooting. So, yeah, I know the kids are being brainwashed, no doubt about it, and they eat laundry soap. I mean, for crying out loud, what do you expect them to do? But just because that's what we expect them to do we just give up on them? you say, okay, well, you eat laundry soap, so you ain't worth saving anyway, so we're not going to worry about it. And in reality, that may actually be a fact, but they're still our kids. Or they're still somebody's kids. So maybe there's and I think this probably goes along with the same thing. How many people participated in the first revolution? You know, common consensus is 3%, right? Well, if you get a classroom of 40 kids and you get 3%, what's that going to be? About two of them or something like that? So if three of them won the revolution, maybe 3% of the kids in any given class can turn the tide against an active shooter. I don't know. I've said my piece. You guys can take it for what it's worth. You're going to experience, I'm going to do my close. You're going to experience a little bit of silence while we're switching over and changing the recording, because this will be put on the podcast and the archives as two separate shows. So stand by just a few minutes and I'll be back.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.